Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 17, 2016. I'm Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. Details on Vince McMahon selling over 2 million shares of WWE stock on Monday. My full review of last night's Raw. Emma commenting on the injury she suffered over the weekend that will unfortunately require back surgery. John Cena saying he is back to 70% in the gym. And the print version of the WWE Raw hit list still to come. Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's Raw, and later today, the WWE Raw ratings and viewership information. Shortly before I started recording this, Triple H announced that tickets for the WWE Cruiserweight Classic will go on sale Friday morning at noon Eastern. He listed June 23rd, July 14th, August 26th, and September 14th as the dates for the Cruiserweight Classic tournament, the 32-man Cruiserweight tournament that will be held at Full Sail University in Winter Park, Florida. It's interesting that the final date is listed as September 14th. That would seem to indicate that the finals of the tournament will be broadcast live on the network, because that is the date that WWE previously listed as being the finale of the series. And the tournament will actually begin airing on July 13th on the WWE network. It'll air Wednesdays immediately following the NXT show. So looking forward to that. Hopefully, Zack Sabre Jr. will be involved. The PWG champion is an entrant in the Cruiserweight Classic. He is going to miss Friday's event in Reseda, California. He was scheduled to defend his PWG championship against Michael Elgin, and he announced that he would be missing that show as well as a booking on Saturday in North Carolina. Did not go into details about the nature of the injury, the extent of it. I know he had some stitches from a show that he did in Germany. So no info yet as to how long he will be sidelined. Hopefully he is good to go for this. There's no indication that it's anything long-term, but hopefully he will confirm sooner rather than later that he is good to go, and it's just kind of a bump in the road. But unfortunate for those who were hoping to see him face Elgin, of course, this weekend. Let's get into the WWE Raw hit list, and then I will have a few bonus thoughts on WWE Raw coming up after that. We will start, as always, with the WWE Raw hits. We start with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against Cesaro and The Miz. Owens continues to be the most entertaining man in pro wrestling and the weekly MVP of WWE television. As disappointing as it was to see the Cesaro and Zayn match go less than 2 minutes, I really like the dynamic in the tag match. They teased the idea of Shane McMahon giving viewers a SmackDown rematch, only to have Stephanie come out and create the more intriguing match with the rivals teaming together. Owens yelling, "He's the worst one," after being paired with Miz was laugh-out-loud funny. The match was entertaining, and I like that Owens was the last man standing with heat heading into Extreme Rules. By the way, I have no doubt that Owens will help make the Miz TV segment on SmackDown entertaining, yet I also have no desire to see it. WWE has to know that their near weekly announcements of talk show segments for SmackDown is a lazy turnoff. Next hit is AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, a solid segment that set the stage for the tag match later in the show, as well as Sunday's Extreme Rules main event. It's good to see that WWE officials seem to be more comfortable with AJ Styles on the mic. He will never be the best talker in the company, but he holds his own in short spurts when he's given good material to work with. Creative still hasn't made me feel like Styles is a threat to beat Reigns without help from Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows. It's not that Styles comes off as grossly inferior, but rather he feels like he's a notch or two down from Reigns. The match itself should tell that story, if that's what WWE is going for, not the build to the match. The next hit is Charlotte and Natalya's contract signing. Charlotte continues to shine as the arrogant heel. I thought they might treat Greensboro as Bizarro World South by simply acknowledging the crowd cheers for the Flares occurring because they were in Flare country. Instead, they took on the challenge of having Charlotte try to turn the crowd against her. She succeeded for the most part. I like the way that her ego is growing, to the point that she's starting to big time her own legendary father. It could be a sign that Charlotte is going to move on without Ric Flair, especially since she's likely to win without his help on Sunday. I'd rather see them drag this out, though, and use Charlotte's occasional jabs at her father as a way to get heat. The big letdown of the segment was that it felt like it was more about the McMahons and Natalya. I get the idea of having Stephanie and Shane involved if they were worried that Charlotte and Natalya might lose viewers, but that doesn't mean that the end of the segment needed to be more about them than the wrestlers. By the way, nice sister Stephanie and goofy older brother Shane are not compelling enough to warrant the amount of television time they're getting. Next hit is Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho. Let's get the negative out of the way. Ambrose's delivery became really corny to close out the segment. However, the rest of the verbal exchange was solid. I can't say the Asylum match does any more for me than TNA's Lethal Lockdown or Raven's Clockwork Orange House of Fun matches, but it fits the theme of Extreme Rules, and it's unique enough within WWE that it might be a selling point for some viewers. Jericho continues to shine on the mic, and his new Gift of Jericho pose and Drink It In line crack me up, and more importantly, get good heat. The final hit is Becky Lynch and Dana Brooke. Lynch is a valuable commodity. She may not be cast as a top female babyface, but she is over enough that she can lose several televised matches in a row and still maintain the support of the fans. She's developed enough credibility that it meant something when Dana Brooke beat her. Brooke's early main roster character is an obnoxious blowhard. She makes it easy for fans to dislike her and wish that one of the babyfaces would shut her up. She is still a work in progress in the ring, though. It's a shame that Emma suffered the back injury because they would have covered each other's weaknesses very well. Into the Raw Misses section, we start with Big Cass's promo. Cass has been the most vocal character about the new era in WWE, yet he's also the guy dropping references to Steve Urkel and Fred Flintstone in the same promo. You know, because nothing says new and cool like Urkel and Fred Flintstone. It's time to ease up, though, on the concerns that Vince McMahon is going gaga over Cass's size and wants to give him a big singles push before he's ready. Aside from the tease of a match with Chris Jericho that never materialized, it felt like Cass has been just killing time until his tag partner Enzo Amore returns. The next miss is the Usos against Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows. The match quality was a hit, and I enjoyed this outing more than the one they had on SmackDown. It's just frustrating to see Anderson and Gallows losing early and often in their WWE run. They pose a threat to Roman Reigns in terms of cheating him out of the championship, yet he manhandles them both on a regular basis, and they've already lost as many matches as they've won. What happens to Anderson and Gallows once the Reigns and Styles feud runs its course? Here's hoping there's a new leader of the club, lousy name, or Anderson and Gallows could quickly become just another tag team in WWE. The next miss is the Shining Stars. They faced a team of John Skyler and Corey Hollis, who were actually given different names, even though they had, gear that told us who they were. The best thing I can say about the heel Puerto Rico tourism gimmick is that it's not Los Matadores, and I just left it at that. The next miss is the Golden Truth against Fandango and Tyler Breeze. I was shocked to hear the crowd get behind Goldust and R-Truth. Then again, they have been building this up to the two of them teaming for 5 freaking months. I'm happy to see Goldust get a little something, but their comedy antics do nothing for me. I would be more excited about the Fandango and Breeze pairing if A, Fandango changed his name, and B, if it seemed like they weren't just being put together to be the fall guys for Golden Truth. Congrats to WWE Creative for adding a Golden Girls reference to go along with the mentions of Steve Urkel and Fred Flintstone. Is JBL writing promos? The final miss of the show, Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio. The match quality was fine. The problem is that we've seen it countless times, and we know they just trade wins and losses. So now we head into a U.S. Championship match with a champion who lost a non-title match and a challenger who lost a Sin Cara. Riveting. The one plus in all of this is the way that Rusev appeared to break Kalisto in half while applying the accolade. By the way, is all of this leading up to Rusev winning the title on Sunday just to drop it to John Cena? They can't be going back to the U.S. Open Challenge again, can they? Before we get into my bonus thoughts on Raw, I just want to let you know that members are listening to my 56-minute review of last night's WWE Raw, as well as the 61-minute Q&A audio show from Monday. They will also be hearing the Extreme Rules audio review that Jake Barnett and I will record on Sunday night, in addition to a ton of audio content. Zach Zimmerman's NXT audio review, Will Pruitt's review of Lucha Underground, my review of TNA Impact Wrestling, and the list goes on and on. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, simply visit the main page, and once you're there, you'll see the sign-up area. Once you're inside, you'll find three different pricing options. It starts at $7.50 for 1 month, but if you would like to make a commitment, you can save yourself some money. The six-month option is available, and you can save yourself the most amount of money by signing up for the annual membership, which whittles that $7.50 price tag down to an average of $5.50 per month. Again, all the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. And then go into that sign-up area. If you ever have any questions, you can always shoot me an email. Just spell out .net, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter, at Pro Wrestling Net, and feel free to ask me anything there as well. Let's get into the Raw bonus thoughts. It's going to be an interesting day for WWE, I think, as far as the ratings and viewership numbers go, which are about a little less than an hour away from coming out as I record this, at least the viewership numbers. They had really tough competition on Monday night. They had the, I think it was the Western Conference Finals in the NBA. And then I know, to a lesser extent as far as Raw is concerned, but of a little more interest to me, just because I'm a hockey guy, the NHL Eastern Conference Finals got underway as well. Plus, we're getting to the end of the season for some popular shows. I know last night I watched the Bates Motel season finale after Raw, and I could go on. I mean, there's obviously a lot of shows, but obviously the NBA game is the most significant competition. WWE knew it was coming. You know, it's been scheduled. It's not like this is, oh, wow, what a surprise. They're playing basketball on Monday. But the only thing they did to counter this was to announce the debut of the Shining Stars last week. That's it. I mean, really, how low do the numbers have to go before WWE finally starts to change the way they do things when it comes to advertising things? SmackDown's mediocre numbers, their big response to that was that lazy talk show segment announcement. The whole thing is just lazy and counterproductive. Also, WWE didn't just fail to convince me that AJ Styles is a threat to win the title on his own merits. They're failing when it comes to making me feel like Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows could actually help him win it. I will say, AJ missed the weekend house shows due to an injury, and he didn't actually work a match last night. He took a bump, so he wasn't all that involved last night as far as the physicality is concerned. We don't know what they would have done had he been 100%. We may have been disappointed, but I want to at least throw that out there as give him the benefit of the doubt. But that said, how many chances did they have to give AJ Styles even a tainted pinfall victory over Roman Reigns, and they never pulled the trigger? We saw three different six-man tag matches with the Bloodline now instead of the Family against the Club. I just say surely there was like a way at some point in those three matches to have Anderson and Gallows cheat in some way to give AJ a win over Roman, not to bring Roman down, and not even so much to convince you that AJ is on his level in that scenario, but really just to show how dangerous the interference could be. That, you know, when not even showing that Styles is working with them, but if Anderson and Gallows decide to basically cheat on his behalf, whether he knows or not, look what can happen. My God, AJ just pinned Roman Reigns. They never did that. And again, maybe it would have happened last night. I don't know. I mean, how many six-man tag matches do you think they'd really give us? Don't answer that, because we've already seen more than we needed to. Okay, here's the thing. I'm looking forward to an entertaining night of wrestling on Sunday when it comes to Extreme Rules, but it's more out of repetition. You know, it's just kind of, well, it's on the schedule, and of course I have to cover it. But so it's not really true excitement about Extreme Rules and the build to it and these matches they've set us up with. And certainly that's the case. I think Reigns and Styles can have a very good main event if Styles is healthy. They showed us that last month. But I want to be sold on more than that. I want you to make me feel like, wow, Roman, there could, you know, it's doubtful there's going to be a title change, but maybe. And they just never really did that. So even if they do shock us, it's a wasted opportunity by not at least teasing us with the possibility that Reigns could drop the title here. And I know some of you are like, well, I like to be surprised. And I just think that you at least show people, no matter what's going to happen, that this trio, whether they're completely on the same page or it's just Anderson and Gallows basically going into business for themselves as far as Styles is concerned, they're a threat. Roman Reigns is, you know, his championship reign is in jeopardy, and they just never did that. I also have to say the New Day Time Machine skit, a big miss with me. I probably should have included it in the hit list, but I decided to save that for you guys today as far as just to hear on the audio side. You know, I mean, humor is subjective, and I definitely have heard from readers who like certain aspects, but I've only heard from one who thought the segment overall was truly funny. And even if you agree with that, reader, and I just don't, I think the time has come for these guys to develop something other than, you know, a comedic side. The cutesy shtick with the unicorns and like all the over-the-top antics have gotten them to where they are, no doubt about that. But if they want to take this act to another level, then I really feel like they need to be scripted into situations where they let us know, even if it's in their own way, that they're pissed and they mean business. And I say do it in their own way because they don't have to drop all the fun and games completely. A random match against the Vaudevillains at Extreme Rules might not be the time and place to just completely abandon the comedy and just say we're pissed, we're angry. Maybe you save that for a SummerSlam or WrestleMania if the feud's been built up properly. But how about one of these guys gets a little bit pissed off? And, just to show that he's upset. And then you kind of have the other two a little bit nervously trying to kind of get him back into comedy mode. So you almost get the feeling like, yeah, they feel it too, but they don't want to show their cards here. And just a little something different. I mean, the Vaudevillains have been attacking these guys left and right, and they're doing time machine skits. I hope we get a little something on SmackDown that shows us that New Day are more than just comedy. But even then, it's going to feel like it's a little, too little too late as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, I mean, that's just a quick example. I mean, hopefully they can come up with better ideas than the one I just kind of came up with off the top of my head. But I like New Day, but I think they need to do something now to add to the act beyond just how can we make people laugh this week? How can we be quirky this time? I think that's the thing that's really missing from it. That's what's going to prevent them from having true money matches. The act is money. I'm sure they sell a good amount of merchandise, but I think the matches they have should also be money, and I don't feel like we're at that point with New Day right now. Hey, join me tonight for live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. Drew Galloway defending the TNA title against Lashley. And if you're someone who doesn't watch TNA on a regular basis, they've done a really nice job of building to this. It feels meaningful, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to. One thing to remember, TNA might be a public relations disaster and a disaster in other ways. Their television product has been very good this year. And so follow along with live coverage tonight, or just, hey, if you don't feel like watching the show, I'll keep you updated. But I definitely encourage people to give Impact another shot if you get Pop TV, because it's been a very entertaining show this year. Finally today, please remember to subscribe to our daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated when you take the time to do that, because you are helping spread the word about ProWrestling.net. Remember, when I put the link out on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet, a simple retweet helps quite a bit as well. You're just helping spread the word. A big thanks to everybody who has taken the time to do one or more of those things. It's really appreciated. But that's it for me today. I don't know the schedule for the rest of the week. I have to check in with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett to see when they intend to do the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. So you may hear me tomorrow. You may not. But tune in and find out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.